discretion is advised as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Now, are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
And making his podcast debut, Sean Knapp is on the show, everyone.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
All righty. And film aficionado from Genre Exposed, Jason is here. How are you?
Hey, everyone. Doing good. How are you guys?
I got zero complaints, and I'm ready to rumble. So
excellent.
We're into the ultimate rockabilly, before Static X, before Rob Zombie, we had the Misfits. And I'll be discussing them and other wacky stuff that Danzig likes to reminisce about. Giant scoop. So, what was your exposure, Mr. John, exposure to the Misfits?
Well, in high school, I was big in the metal. I didn't get into punk until probably my college years.
Okay.
So, like a lot of people my age, I think our first exposure to the Misfits was from Metallica.
And that's interesting. Yeah, because like, I had so many songs I had heard by him, but I didn't realize, oh, that guy going, whoa, whoa. That's right, Danzig. Yeah. Okay. I thought that was, I don't know what I thought that was. I thought that was just some other, metal punk band from around that time. And it was like, nope, it's Danzig. I've heard more of them than I realized. So I was like, I hear Violet Fire, The Hunter, Snakes of Christ, Her Black Wings, and even Bodies.
That's the thing about Misfits. I think a lot of people, it's like osmosis, like people know the Misfits. They know the logo. They know the Crimson Ghost.
Yeah.
Probably the smartest piece of marketing that any punk band ever did.
Everyone's going to check it out, even if they're, like if you had an Illuminati symbol on your band.
Thing.
It's like everyone's instantly got your attention and say, what the fuck? I got it. What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kids at Hot Topic are wearing their stuff that they don't even listen to the Misfits. But Metallica
you're always going to have posers like that. Who
right. So Metallica did the Garage Days Revisited album that had their cover of Last Caress and Green Hell on it.
Yes.
So that was my first exposure to the Misfits. So I kind of knew who they were, but I didn't really get into them until college because all my friends were metalheads. The punk was you can't listen to punk music. It's not musically good enough, They were very snobbish. I had snobby metal friends.
Oh, I know. I mean, I unfortunately, I'm a millennial, but I am what I am. But I had good parents, so I knew all kinds of culture and everything. I was going on GeoCities more than I was playing random, games on the internet. I was regularly watching TV and getting exposed to cult movies and everything. And so it was like I was familiar with all kinds of walks of life, even if I didn't know their name. Like, so I was watching Svengoolie, even though I didn't realize that's what his name was and everything. I was more of a matter with all his other, similar people, but it is interesting how, like you said, is like there always are going to be, for whatever reason, music that's as toxic as it gets. There's people who their friend is wearing it, or they're hippie or just hammered, stoner friend, is a fan of this and they're just hanging out being part of the cool crowd, even though they may not necessarily like the music or anything. So you got to keep it in mind, and it sucks because there's people like me who legit, is one trait I don't have. I can name all the actors or producers and what they done on this and that. I'm versed in movies, but with music, I just come to a grind every time. I cannot name every song on the album, but I can name maybe the one I find most underrated on the B-side, or again, the one that made it into the top, 150 most played of, 85 or what have you. And like you say, I would have people who would be like, oh, Led Zeppelin, Van Halen, just got into them. Like, you just now got into them?
It's weird how that happens, though. I mean, because I didn't get into the Misfits until well after they had broken up. I picked up that big box set they released in 96, I think it was.
That's just it. I definitely never bought any of their albums, but I just always heard their music, and I always would see a hysterical just interview with Danzig, you know, years before we were making, seeing all the Danzig memes. And fortunately, right. I think the memes are getting everyone even more into their nature. They're realizing there's crazier people besides Ozzy Osbourne or Pete Townsend in interviews who got some funny, blunt energy to them. And
oh, definitely. Of course.
For people to be offended by Danzig, I don't get it. Like,
no, how could you be offended?
That's just kind of why he is what he is. He's like Tommy Wiseau in The Room. This is like he's an alien practically. And
yeah, he's harmless. He's just Danzig, you know.
This is way different than seeing someone making a boomer comment or a Karen comment. It's like, no, this is not even remotely. Don't try and cancel him, Danzig.
Right.
And I mean, he's too close to the material. He's going to say something that doesn't make sense to us, but only makes sense to him. So, yeah,
right.
I'm pretty sure he thinks, yeah, this wouldn't happen if this and that didn't exist. Maybe not necessarily, but maybe he's onto something, but he needs to. It's just like when wording your argument. You got to just, maybe you should outline it a little more before you say it again.
Right. Well, yeah.
But you don't know. And maybe it won't make any sense anyway. And it just only makes sense to you. It's like, it is what it is. So, Sean, I'm sorry we've talked over you this long. So, when did you decide you were going to follow around this various group?
Well, you don't need to apologize. It was interesting to hear what you all had to say and your experiences. Mine is a twofold factor. One is, believe it or not, Yahoo used to have a kick-ass radio thing that's like, I would say like a predecessor to Spotify, right? And I found a lot of good underground music that way. The other is my walking encyclopedia of a friend, Phil. He's my crazy Russian friend, but he's that kind of dude who'll be like, oh yeah, this movie in 1978, name off like the whole film crew and be like, did you know this happened? So like, you know, he put me on
a deeper cut
that they had, yeah. So I had that, and then like I have like a lot of appeal to me is actually like the tempo of the punk music from the era, especially like if you go into like that deep punk towards that way when he has those higher BPMs that really got me. And like actually the vocals kind of reminisce me of like Peter Steele a little bit from Typo, so that kind of got me too.
Oh sure, I can see that.
Yeah, I can definitely. There's no doubt that basically every other grunge or metal or just even just black metal for that matter, it has some kind of inspiration with it. But I mean, it's kind of even funny too how I just when he leaves the Misfits and does his solo thing, I kind of compare it to even kind of Gene Simmons taking over Kiss. You know, this is that kind of factor too, where
yeah,
people are, or even Sting in the Police is like, are you talking about the band or are you talking about the front man? You know, it's interesting how it's factored into pop culture, and now Danzig is doing So Bad They're Good, just trashy horror movies with vampires and what have you, and westerns, and it's kind of funny how he's just going on he's kind of, to me, kind of like Alice Cooper. He has this kind of this essence in that he just pops up in the most unusual kind of kids programs or even horror movies, and you're like, but he's not really acting. He's being him, and that's okay, because that's kind of why he's here in the first place. And it with the music, I mean, there's just no, again, you know, it's just one of those many bands, and the punk scene is just endlessly huge and invaluable. I mean, kind of like with British punk, I can't think of any that aren't influenced in some way by, you know, dead on rock punk like The Clash or old school rock like Rolling Stones. But yeah, with you know, Danzig, I'm sure everyone's, even if a band didn't promote themselves as being influenced, there's going to be someone at a live show who probably does their best impression of Danzig. Factored in. And it's funny how, you know, we're talking about him here, but I will see people just casually just bring him up just out of the blue. That's just kind of how influential I think he is. And I think that's just,
yeah, that's not unusual if you hang out with me, because I'm that guy.
It's just, he kind of merits it. It's just that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I think I'll go listen to the Misfits now. Just have some fun. And
And I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, but his episode on Aqua Teen Hunger Force probably helped. I think that definitely introduced him to a whole new generation. 2000s
were so dope in that basically anyone who grew up in the 80s who was now working in animation or TV programming would just bring in video store and record store level celeb talents to just make a cameo. Like, what do you got to do?
I eat that crap up because I am that 80s kid, so I eat that crap up.
That's all good. And I do it even too with 90s stuff. It's like, this movie now, it feels like a 90s movie, or it feels like a 90s song.
And even like Metalocalypse, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Megalocalypse so is good. a perfect contrast because like they are channeling all kinds of metal bands.
Actually, a lot of the music is made by some legitimate musicians. Like, I think the guy from one of the guitars from Neverwhere does a lot of the music too. So it's like they got real talent behind it.
Oh, totally. The creator, Brendan Small, he's an excellent guitarist. Excellent.
It's just all these people, they speak the language. I mean, Tenacious D was even on the episode. It was just mainly Jack Black doing the voice work. I'm sure he played a tune that they used. It was like, they definitely spoke to some kind of, again, underground culture, which is already kind of what factors in for what metal is. But yeah, when you actually talk to them front and center, you'll get all these other connections and people who otherwise you never would have gotten their number, you know?
Right.
Never would have made that connection. They're already working happily, doing other kinds of remixing and producing gigs. And that's kind of what Trent Reznor was for a while. He was bringing in a lot of new metal and electro rock people in who otherwise never would have even made it into the fold or come across the record company. So I love it when you talk to these producers and you see them just lo and behold reveal, you know, what they're looking for. And you know, they don't even want to take the credit for the artist. They're already happy that they succeeded in this tough cutthroat industry.
Right.
And
what was your experience with the Misfits, Cam?
Just practically it. It's just like I always just see some references. And I just would always see that logo. I'm like, yeah, but that's not just for the Chris. That's clearly for a band. Who is that? It's Misfits. And so, yeah, I mean, again, they were just another group. I had heard their songs, but I didn't necessarily know that they had done it because there just was so much competition in the late 80s, early 90s. And then some, like they'd come out with something new and I'd hear someone talk about them and I'm like, okay, this sounds cool. And this is why I'm so happy for just even iTunes doing deep cuts and organizing just greatest hits. So it's like, no one can ever make an excuse that they never heard them ever again. It's like now everyone's got a Spotify playlist and it's
so much more accessible. That was one of my issues when I was growing up because it was pre-internet. So if people didn't have it, you know, and I lived in kind of in a small town. So, I mean, it's not like Walmart was carrying the Misfits, you know?
Yeah. $5 bin. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was so hard to actually listen to a lot of this stuff. So people are just so lucky right now. They can hear this with the push of a button.
All I got to say is Tower Records had my back for a while.
Oh yeah. See, the closest Tower Records to me was like 2 hours away.
I wanted the real deep cuts, I went to this place in Manhattan called Generation Records. They had a lot of vinyl. I got my first bullet belt there. Like, it was a great store.
Oh, nice. I grew up in kind of rural Kentucky, so I was not as lucky. Yeah.
Did you grow up near any comic book stores or record stores?
The closest record store was about half an hour away, the closest one of any real account. And it was actually pretty cool, but I don't remember seeing much Misfits there. Not a whole lot of punk at the time. But I think once the 90s hit, a lot of people were going back and looking at the Misfits. And because I think Danzig started getting a little bit bigger as a solo artist then. So people were paying more attention to his back catalog. Yeah, right.
He is a huge ass dude. Or is like, man, he's apparently pretty nice, even though he has all these outlandish comments. But it is also just one of those where it's just like, I would not want to go near him. I would just be afraid of him getting freaked out or being like, "Who the fuck are you?"
I don't know. You guys ever seen the video where like someone smacks him backstage?
Yeah.
That's gonna happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. You get people with these huge egos and they butt up to each other. One of them is going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down eventually by somebody.
I just don't think he's that after seeing that, I feel like he just would not just lash out at anybody.
I don't think so either.
I think he's also just one of those. It's tough to describe because there's so many other weird, similar celebs, but I think he is just kind of the type where he's kind of just part of a system where it's like, again, you're in the locker room and you're telling people, fuck off and all that. And
sure.
Yeah. Go about your business. It's like, well, this is kind of how
the guy's from New Jersey. What are you going to do?
Oh, no.
There you go. The New Jersey crowd. And do you think he kind of speaks to a lot of the people in New Jersey? He kind of has that angst, grown up teenager kind of attitude to him. It's kind of become a New Jersey stereotype, kind of.
I mean, he does have that song called Attitude, so.
That's there right.
There you go.
Yeah. Sure, how familiar are you guys with his band right after the Misfits, Sam Hain?
Another one. Just like, I would see that come up in like shared music playlists, pre-Spotify, I think. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hit and miss. I didn't think it was bad, but it didn't necessarily catch my attention. But I'm sure if I listened to more of it, I would probably eat it up. Because
I think it's pretty good.
Music comes in stages too. Like, you got to be right there, right then. And, now it's just insane how I just never would have thought that we would go beyond iTunes. I always thought it was just kind of like DVD and Blu-ray where it's just an option. And now I can't think of anyone who isn't streaming music on a weekly basis now. And record prices are still going up to where it's like, if you want that expensive, pristine vinyl, you're going to have to pay out the ass for it.
Yeah, I know. I collect vinyl, so I know that pain all too well.
Totally. And there's just no way around it. If you want it, you're just going to have to wait. And sometimes you can't wait it out. And sometimes the deal, disappears and you're like, I'm back to square one. Where do I find it?
Yep.
I'm not paying $200 for it, but I'm not paying, $20 to $40,
And some of those early Misfits records are so collectible, like the 7 inches, they would actually press themselves. I mean, they go for $300, $400, $500.
Sweet.
I don't have any of those. I wish I had some of those.
The vinyl market is very lucrative. My friend used to have my encyclopedic friend used to have that shit on lock to the point where he actually won auctions on 56K Connection. But he had some 200 records in my parents' house because that's where he had storage because of his living situation. But I've never listened to Sam Hain, I'll be honest with you, but he used to say they were pretty darn good. So I think I gotta check him out after this.
Cool. Yeah, I think you should. And they're a really a nice, obvious bridge between the Misfits to Danzig. You can really hear that musical shift happening.
Okay. Cool. Would you say, out of all their songs, what are some other ones that you'd like to put on your playlist?
Yeah, what's a good starting point, would you say?
Okay. As far as the Misfits go,
or Sam Calls Hain? For Black Sam Wings.
Sam Hain. Oh boy. Oh man. See, I love all their stuff. Their best album is probably November Coming Fire. That was their third one. And it's pretty solid all the way through. Okay. If you're looking for individual tracks, let's see. Don't have my. Sorry about that. I think that was me.
I got you. So
muted that. Let's see. Start with November Coming Fire. Just listen to the whole thing.
All right. I got
you. That's my, I can never do like songs. I'm old school. I have to do like the whole album.
I hear you. You love Devin Townsend Band then.
I've been trying to get into them. Honestly, I'm having some resistance for some reason. I don't know if it's the progressive elements or what, but I'm working on it.
Well, it might be the progressive elements, but I'm going to recommend Synchestra. If you really want like a full concept album to listen to, I spent a couple nights at a golf course under the stars, and that made it really like special to me.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Okay. Excellent. I will do that.
Very sweet. But yeah, I mean, are there any albums that stick out like a sore thumb? Because I think they're pretty solid for the most part. Any song that's just too weird or too wacky for its own good, you know, you still don't mind listening and just having it on, you know?
As far as the Misfits go, or?
Yeah, like I kind of get, much like System of a Down, it's like there's some which, I mean, you were talking about musicians who work in TV. I mean, I kind of have that deal with Green Jelly and Primus. It's like there's just some where it's like, it was just kind of fun because it kind of wasn't really even music. It's kind of anti-music if you think about it real hard.
Yeah.
But more or less, it's worth listening to. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I see it. To me personally, there's not really like a bad Misfit song, but there's one that I usually tend to skip, and it's called Theme for a Jackal.
That one was kind of nutty, but
and it's kind of the point. Yeah, for a Misfit song, it's like an epic. It's long. It's like over 2 minutes. And it gets a little repetitive, and Danzig's like banging on his, you know, piano a lot. And
this is so many different tones.
Yeah, which is the cool thing about the Misfits. They could be, you know, like 50s doo-wop, and then they're going to be proto-speed metal, you know, so.
Proto-speed. Not to be confused with ramming speed.
We want to talk speed metal. I'm going to go for the band Sodom.
Yeah. Not a bad choice, my friend.
Either that or like Creator, if you guys know them.
Oh, I love Creator. I saw them live before the pandemic.
Sweet.
Good band. Nice.
Very cool.
Oh, and speaking of live, I'll share my Misfit story, seeing them live for the first time. Okay. This was post-Danzig. When Michael Graves was fronting the band. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about this, but it was a very confrontational time.
I read it like briefly in like a music, like you got to know about this story. You know?
Yeah, a lot of people dismiss that lineup of the Misfits, but you know, it's actually pretty good. They put out two albums in the late 80s called, let's see, the first one was American Psycho, and the second one was Famous Monsters. And the first concert I ever really went to, because like I said, I grew up kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Good. That's exactly where they were touring.
Yeah. I was in my early 20s. First real concert I went to, total noob, didn't know what I was doing, did not bring earplugs.
Ooh.
I could not hear for 3 days. I swear there was that. I thought it was going to be permanent, that ringing. It was awful. I'm like, oh, I'm Pete Townsend now. No. But it was insane. It was just so loud and so crazy and so nuts. Because two of the original members are still with them. Well, one of them is Jerry Only, the bassist. He sings now. And Doyle, the guitarist, was playing.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so it was an experience. And I've seen Danzig live as well. And I saw a tour with Danzig playing with Doyle. And they played some of the old Misfit songs, which was amazing.
That definitely sounds so. I mean, because more or less, you're having to deal with just so much energy in the room and just so many.
Oh, it's crazy. It's still one of the craziest crowds I've ever seen in my life.
Do you think they, once they leave, like the energy just gets stolen out with them?
I mean, it lingers. I mean, like if you go see the Misfits now, like Jerry Only, the other original member along with Danzig, he comes down into the crowd. You know, I high-fived him. You know, he'll sit there and he'll autograph stuff, talk to people. He's a really cool guy.
Sweet.
Speaking of older performers who are still kicking ass, I had the pleasure of seeing Iron Maiden back in 2019, and damn, they played a fucking amazing show, yeah.
Yes, dude, Maiden. I have three favorite bands. Alice Cooper, Iron Maiden, and the Misfits.
There you go.
And yeah, Maiden rules, dude. I've seen them a few times, and they're just incredible.
That's sweet. Do you think they also just, they're just kind of like a breakthrough in terms of just being a horror band as well as just a wacky, just mashup of different genres? Yeah, they're
definitely pioneers in the horror genre. Like you got one of my favorite other like horror bands would probably be like Necromantics.
Yeah. Good. Yep. Love the Necromantics.
They're more like a psychobilly, but they still like they carry on that vein.
Sure. I mean, the Misfits definitely, you know, inspired them.
Sweet. And I mean, I can't think of any who've done that as much. Like, again, you know, I was kind of doing that, but it's kind of.
There were some bands that flirted with the horror theme, I think. Like, I mean, like Alice Cooper, he goes back to the 60s.
Right. You know, he was the OG, and then they're just filling his shoes and doing their own thing. And
but no one really embraced it like the Misfits did, you know, with the title tracks and the horror poster, you know, horror movie poster imagery and everything.
Yeah, I'd say even they were one of the few first bands to even pioneer like the corpse paint that you see in black metal all the time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's what they mainly said is like, we're talking about the boring suburbs of Oslo that's in, you know, black metal and mixing it with a punk metal. And they were also talking about death metal, which is, you know, his he describes as the boggy backwaters surrounding Tampa, Florida. So. Cool rock was for the kids in the suburbs, and punk belonged to the media celebrity hubs of London and New York. So it's interesting. It's like he's just trying to do his own take on the same story. So it's like that's pretty cool. Yep. And I mean, that's we talk about that whenever we do a TV show review. Where does this stand? Where does this rank? You know, because there's something for everyone, but it just stinks when you have to explain to certain people, you know, where it belongs, and everyone's familiar with different things. They might be familiar with the thing that was considered the knockoff at the time versus, again, the one that got it on the map but might not have aged as well.
Oh, sure. Especially if people, you know, they don't really go back and look to what came before. They're never going to know, you know, and you can't blame them. How are they supposed to?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's why they need podcasters to come up and tell them what's what.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And I can't even think of any, like, just, again, pop culture that hasn't brought it up in some capacity. Like, it's just, it's kind of second nature. Even if your parents weren't listening to it, you've had friends who were listening to it, and you went over to their house and jammed. And like you say, you know, they did so much just, like, sharing a stage with plenty of other cult bands. So it's like, yeah, you're going to see them eventually or see someone who worked with them in some capacity.
For sure.
It's really what really appealed the most to me about Wikipedia. I learned so much about who was part of what band for what age. It's like, that's cool. I learned more than I did just watching a VH1 Behind the Music doc.
Yeah.
Oh, my go-to for metal bands used to be the, you guys ever been on Encyclopedia Metallum, the Metal Archives website?
Almost every day, brother.
Oh, yeah, dude. I learned so much from that website.
Oh, yeah. I found a lot of bands that way. Because you can look for people who are kind of like that band you like and just start going through them.
Oh, yeah. That's how I found probably one of my top three bands, Children of Bottom. Alexi Laiho.
Oh, yeah. Children of Bottom's great. Yeah. Good stuff.
Totally. And... do you think they're going to do more and more conventions more commonly, even though it's, you know, it's typically not what bands do?
I think once the pandemic stuff dies down, there might be like really the people who want to like share the music with everyone might push for a convention. If anything, though, it'll probably be in like the New York or even like maybe like the Bay Area, the places where the really the influential scenes were stateside.
Yeah, I met Doyle, the guitarist for the Misfits, at a convention in Indianapolis a few years back.
All places, okay.
And he's just, I don't know if you know what he looks like, but he's this huge, imposing dude. I mean, he's like chiseled and very quiet. He's actually really shy, apparently.
I kind of seen him, but yeah, the focus is mainly just on.
And of course, he's in the full costume and everything. He's got his paint on and a double lock going and all that. And I go up there to get an album signed, and he's like, "You like hot sauce?" I'm like, "Yeah." he's selling his own hot sauce.
That's awesome.
And he had this little bottle and he was like, want to try some? So, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He's a pepperhead.
Yeah, yeah. It was good stuff, too.
Does he sell it online still?
I know. I don't know. I haven't checked into that.
Just at that one exclusive convention. Yeah.
I'm going to be disappointed if he's not using ghost peppers, though. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there wasn't a ghost pepper in there. It was too mild for that.
It's not going down without a fight.
Gotta be high if I'm taking it, man.
Yeah, I would imagine. Might be high after you take it.
Yeah, well, what's he putting in there legally?
If I could get the blood of Lemmy in there, like, what's going on?
Oh, Lemmy. R.I.P., man.
Well, do you think they're also kind of cool, like, inspirational talents? Like, and I mean that just as, like, good role models. Like, you're just not going to see them getting carjacked or anything, or beating, again, like you say, intimidating someone at a convention.
You know, I mean, every interaction, as limited as they were, that I personally had with them, or like anything I've seen online, I mean, I think they seem like mostly laid back, cool guys. And Danzig talks crap, but I mean,
it's kind of the fun of it, you know?
Yeah, he's got an ego the size of the United States. I mean, you know, most front men for bands do. So he's gonna talk shit, but I think he's really a cool guy. I don't think, as long as you don't bother him, I don't think he would ever bother you.
Yeah, and I just, even going through just other just metal bands that are just larger than life, never been played on the radio in like years, if ever. But I mean, I feel like they're just kind of just the unspoken gods, kind of like Cinderella, Dream Theater, and, you know, even.
Yeah.
What's their name? Great band, Blind Guardian. Just,
oh yeah, Blind Guardian's great.
It's like, yeah. It's just all these bands. It's like all their music is like 6+ minutes, so it'll never get played anyway. But it's like, right. I mean, they kind of.
You, man.
I just would even hear their name on just lists shared with the likes of Pantera and Helmet as just these bands that were just more influential than anyone even realized. And you play it back and you're like, yeah, oh yeah, I totally see the influence. And even if I didn't do the homework, I would believe, take your word for it anyway, because they're that second nature to everyone.
Right.
I think you hit the nail on the head perfectly when you unofficially called Danzig the Tommy Wiseau of punk.
Because he just has that just kind of aura to him, just unusual hair, and you're like, I want to know more about him, even though he
Well, have you guys seen, speaking of, I mean, Tommy Wiseau, have you seen Verotica?
No.
You haven't seen his movie?
No, I haven't
seen. Oh, Auto Erotica? No, I have not.
But Verotica. Yeah, it's V-E-R-O-T-I-K-A. Right.
I have not seen that or the vampire movie yet.
You guys have to watch Verotica.
Oh, don't
you really do. You need to watch it. Don't watch it alone and don't watch it sober, and you'll have a good time.
Is it like super cheesy, or am I going to legitimately like be taken aback here?
You will not be taken aback. You may be taken aback by how bad it is.
All right, I'm in.
I mean, that's kind of the fun of these, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's one of those things where he's got complete control and no one tells him no. So he just does whatever he wants, which in its way is kind of admirable, I guess, you know?
Yeah. No one's going to stop him from doing what he wants. But the real question is it highly memeable?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Nice.
Looks like we got a movie on our hands then.
Yeah. Check it out. Let me know what you think. And the new one, yeah, the new one's called Death Rider in the House of Vampires.
Right.
Great title. Great title.
Amazing title, yeah.
It's not really out yet. I don't know anywhere you can see it.
I think it was like a limited screening in like LA and everything, but critics reviewed it and said it's hysterical. You got to come see it at a midnight show. It's that kind of.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm still there.
I'm sure there's probably an online link by now, but
Oh, I'm sure there's somewhere you could pirate it. Yeah.
So would you put Misfits like in your top 10, top 20? I think I'd put them in my top 30. I'm just kind of more partial to Motorhead and the Scorpions. This is kind of where I am.
Oh, I can't go wrong with Motorhead. For me personally, they're in my top three. No joke.
Okay.
No, yeah, I love the Misfits.
Because it's cool to know, because like everyone ranks them all differently. Like there's ones where it's like I see people talking shit about Black Sabbath nowadays. I'm like, oh, you
what?
You don't want
Sabbath is one of the best bands ever.
Even go down that road. Don't even.
Yeah.
I'll see.
Black Sabbath discussion. It's got to be Dio versus Ozzy up front.
All right. I can understand people not liking certain albums by Metallica or Korn, but don't tell me Black Sabbath didn't earn their keep.
Yeah, for real. And we can have both Dio and Ozzy. It's okay. You know?
Oh, totally. And this is why I love Court of Cinema Psyops. He's always doing the whole everything can be enjoyed. It's a matter of how do you enjoy.
Yeah, right.
He goes into all kinds of movies. He'll go into stuff that he paid way too much for the Blu-ray when he could have just seen it for free on Shudder or on Prime. Yeah. And he'll go into other ones where he's like, I like it, but I'm liking it less now that I'm talking about it, you know, and putting more thought into this than the band.
What about you, Sean? What are the Misfits rank for you?
I mean, overall, probably like top 20 for punk, top 10. I have a pretty eclectic music taste, so like I also have some jazz in my top.
Isn't that wild too? I was like, once we get into like new metal and grunge, it's like it all goes to shit. Everyone's talking shit about all the metal bands, and it's like you're talking about totally different generations, you know. And they're seeming to forget when people were talking shit about hair metal. And, you know, mainstream critics hated it, but you know,
I'm still talking shit about hair metal.
Hey, there's a lot of good hair metal now.
There's lots of great hair metal. And
I have to agree to disagree, man. I can't get into it. Maybe you got me guilty with like one White Snake song, but that's
one White Snake.
That one
White Snake song?
You know, sometimes in the shower, I'll be like singing, Is This Love? But you know, that's it.
All right. All good. Not a Def Leppard fan, but that's all good. I like Leppard and White Snake, but. And Whitesnake was definitely another example of it. It's like, I've heard them more than I realized. And what's funny is my folks had a saying where it's like, if you can't guess who the band is, it's probably Whitesnake. And then they start making fun of how I was actually listening to them. Like, yeah, I never had a problem with them.
They weren't that bad. Now, Poison, no, forget that. No.
I see. I like Poison, I understand.
There's a line in the sand.
They were definitely... I think they and Winger are definitely the ones that is like throws in front of a firing squad. Is like they are the ones who is like will often be mocked, and I think they just don't care. I know Winger took themselves way too seriously. Well, Brett Michaels, I don't think he would have cared. He got laid. He was happy.
Yeah, they were making money hand over fist. Well, they care.
Speaking of hair metal, though, I got a question for you guys. Have either of you listened to Pantera back when they were glam and Dimebag Darrell was Diamond Darrell?
Uh-huh. And that crazy cover art with like the cat person, whatever it is.
Yeah, Metal film. Magic with the panther with the sword. What's up, man?
I never saw the artwork, but I love Dimebag Darrell, and I can listen to Damage Plan all day. I love that shit. That's great.
They were a very different band.
No, so different. And you look up how they died and everything. It was so weird. It's like I said that to my brother at a party one time. It's like, I think I heard that. I don't know where I heard that. And it was like, again, that's a band that did not deserve to, you know, go away. You know, it's kind of like Drowning Pool. It's like they were hot for a minute. And then after that first album, the singer dies and they replace them, never the same again. And I'm like, ah. But
didn't the body literally hit the floor?
Yes, I made plenty of those jokes as well. Like, wham is the noise that George Michael made when he died. But yeah,
it's
like, I say that with love, but it's like,
I know. Yeah.
It is interesting how it's like all these bands, it's just hot for a minute. It's like Damage Plan. There's a group. They could have. There was a hysterical meme that even reminded me and depressed me, kind of. This is like, people know who Nicki Minaj is, but don't know who Diamondback Darrell is.
Right, yeah.
One of the best modern day drummers, that is for sure.
Oh boy. Yep.
So if anything, these are just reminding us, I get so sick of everyone doing the whole, oh, PC, oh, all the good stuff is leaving us. It's like, no, it's still being enjoyed. It's just, I mean, eventually people just lose track of stuff. So you got to re-educate them instead of just going blindly on random rant, just saying, oh, you don't know this. How can you call yourself? It's like, well.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like those.
I don't know them.
Right, yeah.
Never on my radar. And I listen to a bunch of stuff, internet radio as well as legit radio, and create your own, you know, music player.
Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't like talk down to people who haven't heard something. You should be like, here, take a listen or watch this. You know, don't tell them if they're a poser because they haven't heard the band. That's ridiculous.
They're like, I can listen to Cradle of Filth. I can listen to Queensryche, even Amon Amarth and Avenged Sevenfold. I don't care. It's a metal. I like all kinds.
Yeah,
but it's kind of the same thing with genres. It's like, do you like torture porn? Do you like giallo? It's like, I kind of prefer giallo. I'm not a torture porn guy. I don't do Saw and horror stuff, but I know many who do. Action, same thing. I'm kind of more of an Expendables guy than I am a Fast and Furious guy. So I told you all you need to know. and it's even wackier how just all these bands are sampling each other now. So it's like you're gonna hear some of their songs one way or the other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I love ones that have even made their living just basically being a tribute band. Mm-hmm. I love Austrian Death Machine, which you can enjoy even if you don't realize that they're basically all they're doing is just making songs based off Arnold Schwarzenegger one-liners.
And why not?
Why not? Oh, so this has been a delight, gents. Where can we find you on the interwebs?
Sean, you want to go ahead?
Just dancing in the room with you?
I mean, I just got my Facebook profile. I have a shit posting group if any of you want to join. It's Seeds Against Catholics, Against Catholics, Against Seedless Watermelons.
Oh, wow. That's a mouthful. Who wins?
Well, you know, I'm still trying to figure out who I oppose exactly, so.
Just post a watermelon picture.
No, there's like, it's a satire group based off, there's like Catholics against Seedless Watermelons, and then someone made Seedless Watermelons Against Catholics.
Oh, where they're just renaming it, so that's part of the shitpost renaming the group.
Basically.
That's confusingly awesome. Oh.
And yeah, just, you know, genre exposure, just look for us on all the platforms.
You've done all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, write to us at genreexposure@gmail.com. Sure. All the normal, usual suspects.
Very cool.
We'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, chin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am in
the most sincerest of senses disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie to jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you should be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be
did
a rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah.
Bana 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 out. Bana 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 out.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes, a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
At EILFM.podbean.com.
Welcome to Who Was She Podcast. I am your host, Tara Jabari. After a decade working in documentaries, marketing, and all things digital media, I found that podcasting is a strong medium to share stories. After years of producing for others, I decided to start my own biographical podcast. Who Was She will focus on the life of a woman throughout Baha'i history. The first season is about Lydia Zemanoff. Lydia's story explores the subjects of the power of language and faith. Her father invented the universal language Esperanto, and she came from a Jewish family and became a Baha'i. She grew up during World War I and was killed during World War II in a concentration camp, despite heroic efforts to save her life. How can one person's life intersect with so many others, connect across borders, and inspire a biography which inspired this podcast? Over the next few weeks, I will share her story with you and the lives that were most affected by her and those who affected her life as well. They include her father, Ludwig Zemanoff, her spiritual mother, American journalist Martha Root, and the Baha'i German soldier Fritz Mako, who worked for the resistance undercover while having to serve the Nazi party. I want to thank the author Wendy Heller and George Ronald Publishing for their blessing to let me use Heller's biography, Lydia, The Life of Lydia Zemanoff, Daughter of Esperanto, as a main and instrumental resource for this podcast. So please subscribe and learn about this amazing woman who traveled through three continents in an effort to bring unity through the power of language. You can also find more information on our Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Who Was She Podcast. Music was composed and performed by Sam Red. I am your host, Tara Jabari. Join us next time as we begin our journey about Lydia Zemanoff.
The Jacked Up Review Show can also be followed on Facebook on both the page and the group. Feel free to chat, leave questions, make requests for future episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you so much for your various support, and we'll continue to entertain the hell out of you. Till then, take care.
Ha 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 ha!